Welcome to The Lay Disciple, a ministry of Truth Seekers Fellowship. Well, this has been a great week of lessons, and we've learned a lot about angels. At the end of today's program, I'll give you information on how you can get a copy of these lessons on tape. Now, stay with us for the next 13 minutes as Tom Murray continues this series on angels.
Well, I welcome you back to our study in The Lay Disciple, and we are discussing the second category of angelic beings, which are called the Seraphim. And we were looking at the book of Revelation, and I ended our last broadcast in talking about the facial characteristics of Seraphim. While their bodies appear the same, and they all have six wings and eyes in the front and the back, we found that they do not have the same facial characteristics. And so within the Seraphim, there are four different types of Seraphim. And you can distinguish one type of seraphim from another by their facial characteristics. Now, the four characteristics are: one facial characteristic is lion-like, the face of a lion. The second one is calf-like, like the face of a calf. The third one is the face of a man, so it is a human-like facial characteristic. And the fourth is like the face of an eagle, so it is eagle-like. So there are four facial features on the four different types of seraphs. There is the lion facial feature, the calf, the human or the man face, and the eagle face. Now, the fifth thing that we can learn from the Revelation 4, 6 to 11 passage is something we had learned in Isaiah, and only here we're told that the bodies of these seraphim are full of eyes round about and within. Now, that's an additional feature, because we learned earlier that they are full of eyes in the front and in the back, but now we're told by John it is that they are full of eyes all the way around their body, including both their sides, and also they have eyes within themselves. Now, on the sides of them, there are eyes, but then within them, there are eyes. Now, remember that these are spirit beings, which means that they are not subject to the limitations of our human material bodies. But there's a sixth thing we can learn from Revelation chapter 4, verses 6 to 11, and that is the confirmation that they continually praise God, and they say the same words in this passage in Revelation 4, 6 to 11, that they said back in Isaiah. Now, the book of Isaiah was written about 700 years before the book of Revelation. So they are still doing the same thing in the days that John wrote the book of Revelation that they were doing in the days that Isaiah wrote the book of Isaiah. And that is, they are saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. Give glory and honor and thanks to him that sitteth on the throne, to him that liveth forever and ever." Then the seventh thing we can learn from our passage in Revelation 4, 6 to 11, is that whenever these seraphim say, "Holy, holy, holy," that becomes a signal to the 24 elders who are sitting around the throne of God that they too must now worship the one who is sitting on that throne. And the one who is sitting on the throne in the context of Isaiah and Revelation 4 is God the Father himself. Now, there's a second passage in the book of Revelation that talks about these seraphim, and that's chapter 5, verse 6. And there we can learn that they also surround the Lamb, not only the Father, but the Son, because the Lamb is the Son of God. That's in Revelation 5, 6. So while on one hand the seraphim surround God the Father, we also learn that they surround God the Son. The third passage in Revelation is found in chapter 5, verses 8 to 10, and in verse 14 as well. There we're told that the seraphim are the ones who are going to worship the Lamb in the future when the Lamb takes the seven-seal scroll from his Father. That hasn't happened yet, but when it does, the seraphim are going to worship the Lamb. And when Jesus breaks the seals, that's when the tribulation will begin. And as the Lamb takes the scroll and breaks the seals, the seraphim are going to begin to worship the Lamb at that moment. Then the fourth passage in the book of Revelation is chapter 6, verse 1, 3, 5, and 7. There we are told that one seraph announces a specific seal judgment, one of the seven seal judgments. The first seraph announces the first seal judgment. Then he is followed by the second seraph who announces the second seal judgment. Then comes the third seraph to announce the third, then the fourth, then the fifth, and it will go around until all seven have been done. So of the seven seal judgments we are told in Revelation 6, the first four of those, I'm sorry, I said all seven, but the first four of those seal judgments will be announced by the seraphs. Now the fifth passage in Revelation dealing with the seraphs comes out in chapter 7, verses 11 to 12, where we learn that the seraphim are going to be praising God for all of those humans who will be saved during the 7 years of the tribulation period on the earth. In this chapter, we're told in this chapter 7 of Revelation that 144,000 Jews are going to be saved, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes. And these Jews will make it all the way through the tribulation into the millennial reign of Christ. Now, myriads and myriads of Gentiles are also going to be saved, and the seraphim will be praising God for that as well. Then in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 3, we're told that the seraphim are going to witness the song that the 144,000 Jews are going to sing when they sing that song in the millennial or messianic reign of Christ. The seventh passage in the book of Revelation is in chapter 15, verse 7, where we're told that a seraph will give the seven bowl judgments to the seven angels who will pour them out. So a seraph will give the bowl judgments to the seven common angels. Now, these seven bowl judgments that are explained in Revelation chapter 15 and 16 are by far the most severe of all the tribulation judgment. But it will be a seraph that will hand these seven bowl judgments to the seven angels who will pour them out on the earth. And the eighth and the last passage in the book of Revelation is in chapter 19, verses 4 and 5, where we're told that the seraphim are going to be the ones to lead in the worship of God for all creatures, and they will do that throughout all of eternity. So what can we deduct from our understanding about the seraphim from the two books in the Bible, one in the Old, one in the New, from the book of Isaiah in the Old and the book of Revelation in the New Testament? Well, there are eight things that we can conclude, and I'd like to spend the time just reviewing those with you so that you clearly remember. First of all, seraphim are characterized by unceasing worship of God. Secondly, seraphim are characterized by humility. That is, they use two of their wings to cover their face, and they use two of their wings for covering their feet because they are always in the presence of God and surrounding His throne, so they show their humility in His presence. Thirdly, seraphim have a ministry of purifying the servants of God, that is, human servants. so that those human servants like Isaiah can worship and serve the Lord as well. In Isaiah 6, it was a seraph who took a live coal from the altar in heaven and placed it on the lips of Isaiah and purified him from his sins. Fourthly, the seraphim lead in all worship in heaven. They are the ones that say, "Holy, holy, holy," and all the other inhabitants in heaven, the 24 elders, all the other angels, and by the way, all the saints who are there today as we make this broadcast, they too, at the sound of the seraphs, fall down and worship the Father and the Son. Fifthly, the seraph's primary concern is to emphasize the holiness and the need and the constant worship of God. Now, the sixth deduction about the seraphim is that they constantly proclaim and they constantly praise the holiness of God and His character and His righteousness. And they do that in a threefold way, in that they repeat the word holy three times. Holy, holy, holy. Now, they may say that three times because they are recognizing the triunity in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then the seventh deduction we can make about these wonderful seraphim is they proclaim constantly that men need to be cleansed. The cleansing of men comes by means of the altar where the shedding of blood actually takes place. The means of cleansing is always by the blood. And today, that cleansing comes to us by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah, and our Savior and Lord. And then the eighth and last deduction that we can make from these two books, Isaiah in the Old and Revelation in the New, is that the seraphim are going to be used for many of the tribulation judgments of God during the 7 years of the tribulation period, because God is going to use seraphim to pour out His wrath on the earth at certain points during the tribulation period. Well, that concludes our thoughts and what we can learn from the Bible about these wonderful seraphim. You can always tell common angels because they never have wings. You can always tell seraphims because they always have six wings, and they are covered with eyes within and without on all sides, and they have four facial features determining which group of seraphim they belong to. Well, in our next broadcast, I'm going to turn your attention to the top order, or the cherubim, and I'll see you in that next broadcast.
Thanks, Tom. And friend, we want to thank you for joining us today and hope that you'll take a few minutes now to visit our new website at www.milktomeat.org. While there, you can sign up for a free newsletter, hear the radio programs, and correspond with us through email. Again, the address is www.milktomeat.org. I also hope that you'll tell your friends and family members in other cities and countries about the site. That way they can enjoy the same teaching that you're getting. If you have any questions or want to order a tape of the program, call us at 901-685-3385. Outside Memphis, call toll-free 866-685-3385. And we'll see you next time right here for The Lay Disciple.